Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming in from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing in the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion and delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views and the views of our callers. And, well, this evening our special guest is Don Richardson. And Don is going to be talking to us about the human papillomavirus vaccine, the so-called HPV vaccine, which is being recommended for all girls in the sixth grade. In fact, in many places in the United States, they're trying to mandate this vaccine because they say, look, this is the first vaccine we've had for cancer, and there are 10,000 cases of cervical cancer, about 3,500 deaths a year from cervical cancer. And if we could just get every girl vaccinated, why, certainly this is good for the four major types of papillomavirus that produces cancer. They produce 70% of those 3,000 cancers. And we could save all those girls from dying if we just simply were to go ahead and vaccinate every girl in this period before she becomes sexually active. But there's some people who say this is not a good idea, and certainly it should never be mandated, because what we're doing, of course, is encouraging our young people to be irresponsible. After all, this is a preventable disease. If girls, of course, adhere to biblical standards, why, they're not going to get the disease. So let's hear what Don has to say. Hi, Don. How are you doing tonight?
Fine, thank you.
Well, why don't you give us your view on the human papillomavirus vaccine?
Well, what they're proposing sounds good on the surface, but when you pull back the covers and look a little deeper, the American public is not being told the absolute truth on this. And we can go through a few of these points. Parents really, really need to look into this. No parent wants to see their child suffer from cancer in any means. And the marketing done by the pharmaceutical giant Merck, who manufactures the vaccine, has been brilliant. They have played off of the fears of cancer. Let me just say one thing perfectly clear. There is absolutely no proof, zero proof whatsoever, that this vaccine prevents the development of cancer. The only thing this vaccine has been shown to do is to prevent, or to suppress, I should say, the infection of the HPV virus, four subtypes, only two that are responsible or linked for the later development of cervical cancer. That is it. The vaccine has only been shown to have effectiveness against the two subtypes, the two of these subtypes out of 15 that are linked to the development of cervical cancer, for about 4 to 5 years. Here's the key. Women do not develop cervical cancer when they're young, by large. The median age of women who develop cervical cancer is 48 years old. The HPV virus is completely cleared from the systems of 90% of the women who come in contact with it, just like the common cold. Of the women who hang on to the virus, only a small percentage of them go on to develop cervical cancer, but it takes decades. This vaccine was only tested in about 1,200 little girls under the age of 16, and they were only followed up for a handful of years. They only have proven that it's suppressed infection with the virus. We don't even know if the girls ever were exposed to the virus. And certainly they have not developed cervical cancer, because they're not going to develop it for decades anyway, with or without the vaccine.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here in just a moment with Don Richardson. Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course our guest Don Richardson, and we're talking about the HPV virus. Now, some people say that HPV virus vaccine really stands for help pay for Vioxx, because of course the Vioxx debacle was directly attributable to the irresponsible actions of Merck Company, and the HPV vaccine is Merck's vaccine, and they will make billions of dollars from this, but they're going to need billion dollars to pay because of their irresponsible acts as far as Vioxx, which they knew was unsafe and probably is going to kill 60 to 100,000 people. We don't know how many are going to die of that. But of course, it seems like the FDA seems to be intent upon helping, you know, Merck out of the real hole that they're in. With how could you possibly suggest vaccinating every girl in the United States and every adolescent girl throughout the world when we have absolutely no evidence, no proof this is going to prevent one case of cancer? It's assumed that it's going to, but certainly just because you may find that virus in a woman who has cervical cancer doesn't mean that the virus created that cervical cancer any more than all the people who are dying of cancers that has the simian virus 40 as part of the cancer doesn't mean that necessarily the simian virus 40 did create the cancer. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But when everybody suggests that, why you say, oh, no, there's no evidence it happened. But then when you use the same thing with HPV, well, of course it produces a cancer. So you pick up the story there, Don.
Absolutely, and you bring up a very good point. You know, just because there's a little animal that got hit by a car on the side of the road and there are vultures there doesn't mean the vultures killed the animal. You know, and this is the same thing that, you know, we're looking at these viruses. It's very important to distinguish that, and this is information directly from the American Cancer Society, that the vast majority of women who have HPV infection never develop cervical cancer. And HPV infection alone is not enough to develop cervical cancer. There have to be other risk factors. HPV infection is a risk factor to cervical cancer, like the way sun exposure is a risk factor to skin cancer. Certainly nobody's proposing that nobody go out in the sun because they might someday get skin cancer. No, it is the same thing. It is a risk factor. It is not a guarantee that someone is going to develop cervical cancer. The other risk factors, and these are very important for people to understand, because if a young woman finds out that she is HPV infected, and she is a chronic HPV infection.
Hold that thought, Don. We'll be right back.
Sure.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here, and of course our guest is Don Richardson. We're talking about the HPV vaccine, the human papillomavirus vaccine, which of course is being touted by public health authorities as one of the great advances of all time. But of course, as Don points out very well, you're going to give this vaccine to girls, you know, about 12 years of age in the sixth grade. But the problem is that how long does the vaccine last? Girls or women don't get the cervical cancer until they're in their late 40s or 50s, and so the vaccine isn't going to be working at that time of their life. Certainly, by that time, the effect of the vaccine will probably be worn off. We only have very, very short periods of follow-up on this. We do not know that it'll prevent any cancers at all. And then, of course, if you look at the statistics, only about 3% of the women have these types of viruses that we're talking about anyway. So 97% of women are going to be taking this vaccine, and it's not going to affect them at all because they don't have this type of virus. This is a totally preventable disease. If you're not sexually promiscuous, you're not going to get the disease. And when we give this to our children, one of the things I think we're sending the wrong message, we're telling them, look, there are all sorts of terrible diseases and complications of sexual, you know, problems from sexually transmitted disease and pregnancy and the psychological effects that they're going to be from, you know, sexual promiscuity. And I love you, and I really don't want you to be sexually promiscuous, but just in case you're sexually promiscuous, why don't you take this vaccine anyway? Now, isn't that sort of a contradictory message we're giving our children?
It absolutely is a contradictory message. Proponents of the vaccine say that this is not for when they're young, it's for when they're older. But like you said, when they're older, vaccines wear off. Let's look at Merck's chickenpox vaccine. That came out on the market, and they promised us that this would stop the cases of chickenpox. Well, now, most of the cases of chickenpox out there are in kids who are vaccinated with a chickenpox vaccine that doesn't work, so now they have to have a booster shot. The same thing happened with other shots from Merck. They have to add booster shots. So what's going to happen to these girls? They're going to have a false sense of security that they are protected from developing cervical cancer. It only covers 2 strains out of 15. We have no proof that it lasts any longer than a handful of years. The danger here is that these young women are going to go out and they're going to start developing symptoms and they're going to dismiss it as cervical cancer because they believe they are protected. And again, there's been no proof that this actually prevents cervical cancer. The only thing it's been shown to do is to suppress a virus that has been shown to be linked with the development as a risk factor for cervical cancer. And this is where we left off before. These other risk factors are things like smoking, obesity, HIV infection, chlamydia infection. If a woman is on oral contraceptives for more than 5 years, these are other types of risk factors that multiply the effect of the risk of cervical cancer developing if you have HPV. Those are not risk factors that affect 11-year-old girls. If a young woman finds out that she is chronically HPV infected, she needs to quit smoking. She needs to drop some weight and be a healthy weight and exercise, eat healthy, and get rid of any oral contraception that they've been taking, do some other form of birth control, because those factors drastically increase their chance of developing cervical cancer. If they don't have any of the other risk factors and just have HPV infection, it is very, very unlikely. The American Cancer Society says that the doctors say that just HPV infection alone is not enough to develop cervical cancer. They have to have these other risk factors.
In fact, I have heard from very reliable sources that actually if you take some folic acid, this will help as far as HPV infection is concerned as well. And so if you're, you know, if you have taken folic acid supplements, certainly it'll decrease the chance of your having a chronic HPV infection. And you pointed out so many of these girls can actually handle the virus and the virus gets cured, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It gets cleared on their own. 90% of the women clear the virus on their own with no consequence whatsoever. And of the women who hang on to the virus, it's a very, very small percentage of women who go on and develop precancerous cells first. And that's the key. That women need to take responsibility for their health and go and have their regular pap smears. This is a disease that is totally detectable and treatable before it develops into cervical cancer. It is not something that happens overnight. It takes years. And if women are vigilant and go for their screenings, they're healthy, they eat right, they take care of themselves, they don't smoke, they don't engage in risky behaviors, that they are going to have a very small risk of developing cervical cancer if they take care of themselves and go for their screenings and do what they're supposed to do.
And, you know, when you stop and think that certainly every person who dies of cervical cancer is a tragedy, but we're going to vaccinate the entire population of our country, literally half the population of our 300 million people down the line. This is what they'd really like to do. You know, for this, when only, of course, that's, 150 million people you're going to have to vaccinate to prevent 3,000 cervical cancers, which could very well be prevented, majority of them, by doing other things.
Well, and you know, Stan, what they did say was that about 80% or so of those women who developed cervical cancer did not get a pap smear in the last so many years. I have not received a pap smear. I don't know if it was 3 or 5. I can't remember the statistics, but it was a very high percentage did not go for the regular screening. So they're saying about 500 of those 3,000-something cases might actually have been preventable by the vaccine. So here's the thing. You're talking about spending $360 per girl just for the shot alone. That's the retail price. We're talking that Merck would make $4 billion a year in the United States alone just from sixth grade girls being vaccinated, and yet it only takes about $1.7 billion to treat and check and treat the precancerous stages, cervical cancer and the cancer. So you're talking about Merck making more than two times the amount of money than what we currently spend even. And because of technology, better screening, the number and education and outreach for women to go get their screens, this number of cervical cancer cases drops year after year after year. It's one of our greatest success stories in fighting cancer. And additionally, the amount of money that is going to be spent on the vaccine, we have limited, finite healthcare dollars and resources. What about the women who just don't have access to plain old good healthcare? They don't have, they're in a low socioeconomic status area, they are in it, or they're in a rural area, they don't have access. Wouldn't this money be better spent just addressing accessibility to healthcare for women so that they can go get their screens? And for men, too. This is just an exorbitant amount of money to go directly into the pocket of Merck, and the amount of effect that it's going to have that's helpful is minimal at best, but yet we don't even know about the risks. There are some very serious concerns about risks here with this vaccine.
Well, you know, one of the things that really bothered me is my understanding that there's a double-blind study. And with one group, of course, they gave them the human papillomavirus vaccine. With the other group, they gave them the adjuvant for the, which is, of course, the part of the vaccine that makes the immune system more active. So basically, instead of comparing the vaccine that has adjuvant in it with something that's inert, you're actually compared with something that is going to give you reactions, you know, simply because of the adjuvant, you do get a certain amount of allergic reaction to that. So why would they have something inert? Why would they use the adjuvant where they know they're going to be allergic reactions unless they were trying to cover up the existence of the allergic reactions, the autoimmune response and disease?
Absolutely. And when, just for the listeners out there, what the doctor means by an adjuvant, aluminum, a neurotoxic metal, is added to this vaccine to slow down the absorption so that your body can make a stronger immune response. It is, you don't have to be a rocket scientist or a brain surgeon to know that injecting aluminum into little girls' developing bodies, little girls who have not even developed their menstrual periods yet, their bodies are still growing and developing, it's not a good idea. You don't have to be a genius to figure that out. And these three doses that the girls have to get within a six-month period, they would be taking in, let's see, it's... I'll look it up and I can give it to you on the next break, exactly how much aluminum that they're going to be getting, but that can't be a good idea. And you're right. What they do is by giving it to the test group and the control group, this aluminum adjuvant, they'll say that the reactions in the vaccine are not statistically significantly different than the control group.
And of course they're lying because, of course, they staged this whole thing using the same thing in both groups. And so they say, look, it's just about the same. Of course it's the same because you're using the same adjuvant in both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't they use simply a saline solution? Because they want to fix and rig the results. Because there are billions of dollars at its stake, and that's just plain dishonest.
Absolutely. And the other thing that they did in the clinical trials, you know, they only looked at 1,200 little girls under 16. They tested on 10, maybe 20,000 women, but that's the key word, women. All these policies of all these state laws that are being filed as proposals to mandate this vaccine is targeting 11-year-old girls. This was not adequately studied in 11-year-old girls at all. Additionally, the vaccine was only tested for co-administration with one vaccine. That means little girls go into the doctor's offices and they will get this HPV vaccine. They're also often given, most of the time, many other vaccines at the same time, but the manufacturer only tested it with one vaccine. We've seen reports of side effects with little girls getting HPV vaccine with 18 other types of vaccines, and it has not been tested for this, and it is very concerning.
All right, we're going to be back in just a moment with Dawn Richardson. This is a real problem, and Merck has been spending money like it's going out of style to get this mandatory legislation through all across America. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly we know that in Texas, while the governor there initially was going to mandate this, he was going to do it by executive order. Of course, it was enough.
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four-tape or a four-CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protects your thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
You got headaches? Most headaches are caused by a structural weakness of blood vessels in the head, and the blood vessels are tending to balloon, causing a headache. The structural weakness is due to a deficiency. Correct the deficiency, and the body will heal itself. I blended what I believed to be the missing nutrients in the right proportions, and the headaches went away. When they were gone, they stayed gone. I named it Headache Stay Gone. See HeadacheStayGone.com or call 800-327-0727 for more information or to place an order. I'll send you a bottle of Headache Stay Gone. Headache Stay Gone will cure your headaches and prevent them from coming back before you pay the bill. Headache Stay Gone has already cured the worst migraines I have ever heard of. Call 800-327-0727. All orders are shipped the same day. Call 800-327-0727. That's 800-327-0727.
Hi, this is Dr. Tony Teary. Are you one of the many people who take vitamin supplements? Do you take handfuls of pills each day to increase energy, reduce your pain, or improve your overall health? Now there is a better way to get the vitamins and minerals your body needs in a delicious-tasting whole food liquid supplement, Body Balance. Body Balance contains 121 essential vitamins and minerals and is made from only organic and natural sources. Developed by doctors, Body Balance was originally available only through healthcare professionals. Now this incredible whole food liquid supplement can be delivered directly to your home. Body Balance offers an extremely effective method to feed your body towards wellness, and we're confident you'll love the difference your body feels. To order your Body Balance, call me directly at 1-800-768-9763 and try it risk-free for 45 days. Again, that's 1-800-768-9763 or online at healthyfoundations.net.
Little girls has said, you know, I could not look any woman in the eye and say that, you know, that I didn't do everything that I'd possibly done to stop cancer. That's why I'm mandating this. And yet, as Don points out, the incidence of cervical cancer, of all the cancers, is less than 0.1%. It's 0.06%. Or, in other words, it's not 1%, it's not 0.1%, it's 0.06%, is less than 0.1% of all cancers are cervical cancers. And certainly of those why, of course, most of them do not die. And certainly there are about a little over 3,000 deaths a year in a nation of 300 million people. Every one of those deaths is tragic, but most of them are preventable by doing all sorts of other things that would prevent, of course, this from happening. And certainly if the people were getting the regular checkups, the regular pap smears, why the cervical cancer would be caught early and could be treated and treated adequately, and they would not die of cervical cancer. And then you were just saying that there was a close relationship between the governor's former aide and Merck Company. What's that all about?
Well, the governor's ex-chief of staff, his name is Michael Toomey, is now the lead lobbyist for Merck in the state of Texas on this HPV vaccine mandate. That's a little too close for comfort for a lot of people.
Well, is there quite an outcry down there in Texas? Because Texans are, you're sort of individualistic people. They don't like things like that happening.
No, they don't like it, and especially who doesn't like it is our state legislature. The governor did not consult with any of the legislators. This hit them all blindsided. It was the Friday before Super Bowl Sunday in the afternoon. People are driving home from work, and the governor issues this executive order thinking, oh, it's Super Bowl Sunday. Texas is a huge football state. This will blow over. But by Monday, there was an avalanche of outcry, of opposition. Immediately on Monday morning, there was a bill filed that would absolutely overturn his executive order and prohibit the HPV vaccine from being required for admission to any school in the state of Texas. And that bill currently is set for a House floor vote on Tuesday. We already have 91 people in the House of Representatives signed on to the bill. There are 150 members in our House of Representatives. That's guaranteed passage when it comes up for a floor vote. Additionally, there's a bill filed in the Senate. There were letters sent to the governor with the vast majority of Senate members, asking the governor to reconsider and to rescind his order, and he will not. As a matter of fact, in the wording of his executive order, he says that it can only be revoked by him or a succeeding governor. So he tries to even eliminate the possibility for it being revoked in his executive order. It's very, very disturbing how such a huge impact to the state, both in health policy and in cost, could be made by one individual without consulting the legislature. He never even consulted the medical groups, the medical trade associations. Even the doctors down here have concerns about this. They're not the same concerns that parents have, but they're concerned because they can't get enough of the vaccine to distribute. They have handling problems. They have insurance reimbursement problems. It's a nightmare for them to enact this executive order once it becomes effective. Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Who's going to put out the $360 or $380?
The rest of us, all of us, we all have to pay for it, and we're going to pay for it in a few ways. We're going to pay for it in forms of higher taxes to pay for all the people who can't afford it. We're all going to pay for it in terms of higher insurance premiums, because as soon as you mandate vaccines, you mandate their insurance coverage. There are state laws in most states that say if the vaccine's mandated, it has to be covered. You know what that means? That means all of us have to pay higher insurance premiums to cover the cost, because insurance companies aren't going to give this away for free. We're going to pay for it in every product and service that we purchase and use when those companies have to pay higher insurance premiums for their employees to cover this. And we're talking the priciest vaccine on the market that's going to net billions in profits from Merck.
And the tragedy is that there's no proof that will save one case of cancer, because there are no studies that show it's going to prevent any cancer, because, of course, this was actually just tried, you know, in college co-eds, and a certain number of them did not get positive pap smears, and others did. But consider that, if that is indeed the case, then what's going to happen, you know, 20 years from now when the subject of cervical cancer comes up? And we don't know, and neither do they. But Merck's going to make an awful lot of money in the meantime. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty. Our guest is Don Richardson, and we're talking about the human papillomavirus vaccine. This is one of the greatest scams I've ever seen. And Merck Company has been trying to convince everybody what a wonderful company they are, how compassionate they are. Oh, we're not in this business to make money. We're from Merck, and we're here to help you. Well, I'll tell you, that's the ultimate hypocrisy. What do you think is going to happen to the legislation when that legislation will be passed? I assume that will put them, the legislature, into total opposition to the governor's position. Can they override the governor?
They can. They have looked at all different angles on what they can do to prevent this from going through. The caveat is the governor can't actually order the vaccination of little girls in this state or anybody in for school. The commissioner of health of the health department can order it. So his executive order actually ordered the health commissioner to order the mandate of the vaccine. So the legislation is aimed at stripping the powers from the health commissioner to be able to do that. So I do believe that the legislators will be successful here. But then we run into the caveat. So the bill gets to the desk of Governor Rick Perry. Does he veto it? Will we have enough time to take another vote to override the veto? What's going to happen? But, you know, you had just mentioned Merck, and Merck not necessarily being the stellar company that it's putting itself out to be. I want all parents and grandparents listening on this radio show right now to understand that this company, Merck, has put three little disclaimers on this vaccine that every parent and grandparent and anybody who knows anybody who's about to receive this vaccine needs to know. The first disclaimer that Merck admits right on their package insert is this vaccine has not been tested for its ability to cause cancer. It's being touted as an anti-cancer vaccine, and they have done no testing whatsoever to determine if this vaccine can cause cancer. They're taking a virus, a genetically engineered virus, and injecting it into little girls. It is a potentially carcinogenic virus, and they have not tested this vaccine, whether or not it can cause cancer. That's the first disclaimer. The second disclaimer is that its effect on a woman's reproductive capacity is unknown. Well, if the effect on a woman's reproductive capacity is unknown, what about a little girl that's still developing and hasn't fully developed yet? They have no idea if this is going to affect these little girls' ability to have babies as they get older. The third disclaimer, and by far to me, this is the...
And you're going to have to hold that off for just a moment as we bring our stations on. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and our guest this evening is Don Richardson, who really is doing a fascinating job, and I'm learning so much from her, and I hope you are as well. But before we go on, I want, of course, Don, do you have a website or someplace people can go to get more information about the human papillomavirus vaccine?
Yes. It is vaccineinfo.net, www.vaccineinfo, all one word, .net.
I'd say vaccineinfo.net.
Yes.
Now, Don was saying, and of course we were talking at the break, which many of our listeners didn't hear, but Don was saying there are three disclaimers on the package insert, which nobody's talking about. Would you mind repeating what the three disclaimers that Merck has there? And I suspect they're in very small print.
Oh, everything is very small print on their package insert. Yes, the vaccine has not been tested for its ability to cause cancer.
In other words, they're going to take a genetically modified a vaccine, cancer-producing vaccine, and inject it into a little girl, and we don't even know whether or not it may actually produce cancer in other organs. It's not been tested.
Absolutely. It has not been tested. They say that right on the insert. They also say that the effect on a woman's reproductive capacity is unknown. So that means we don't know. And that's a woman, a grown woman, a woman's reproductive capacity. These are little girls that have not even developed. Most of them don't even have their periods yet. They have not fully developed yet. We have no idea whether or not this is going to harm their ability to be able to have children. That's the second disclaimer. The third disclaimer, which by far to me is absolutely one of the most concerning, is that this vaccine has not been tested for something called genotoxicity. That is the ability to be toxic to our own human DNA. This is a genetically engineered vaccine. You know from the outcry of genetically modified foods, consumers demanding labeling. People don't want to eat this stuff. What about being forced by law to inject genetically engineered viruses into our children when the effect of it on being toxic to our human DNA has not even been tested? That should be criminal.
Well, I think, of course, the thing is that what they're doing is they're rushing this into the marketplace without adequate testing, and they're using our children as guinea pigs.
Guinea pigs, that's the key word. That's the key word. It's only been on the market since June of last year. No state has mandated a vaccine this quickly from the time it's been on the market. It's an absolute rush. It was a rush job through the FDA. It went through the fast-track approval process, and it's being on the fast track throughout the United States thanks to the marketing and the pushing of Merck and the legislatures to try and get people to mandate the vaccine.
Well, of course, one of the things that noted that a certain, and it was fairly, I think it was 1 in 10,000, would develop autoimmune disease after that. They try to write that off, saying, "Well, certainly the children with the autoimmune, who got the vaccine, got autoimmune disease, but the control group got it too." But the trouble was the control group's getting the same adjuvant that they get when they get the regular vaccine. So basically, they rigged the study so they could say, "See, there's no difference between the control group and the regular group," and yet, of course, they're giving of this adjuvant, which, of course, is Don has said, it was an aluminum product, and they knew that in a certain number of people, the children, you would get an autoimmune disease by which the person begins to develop immunity to the tissues of their own body, because you're priming the immune system, and when you prime that, then you begin to get all of these bizarre lupus-like, rheumatoid-like, thyroiditis-like, scleroderma-like diseases.
Absolutely.
With you the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm. In addition, the United States Food and Drug Administration has a reporting system called theirs, the Vaccine Adverse Events Reporting System,
right,
that after a vaccine comes on the market, side effects are supposed to be reported to this computer system run by the CDC and the FDA. To date, just since the vaccine came out on the market in June, there have been over 500 reports of things like loss of consciousness, seizures, joint pain, and that autoimmune condition Guillain-Barré syndrome. Very serious complications and side effects are being reported in women of all ages that are receiving the vaccine. It is very, very concerning. We haven't had enough time to follow up and look at some of these patterns of some of these side effects to know the kind of damage that could be happening.
And I think this is really criminal as far as I'm concerned. Well, we've got Lorna calling from Coeur d'Alene, Idaho. He's been waiting patiently on the line. Lorna, do you have a question for our guest?
Yes. I just went on the Internet when I heard you guys discussing this. I have two little girls, and I'm to the point that I kind of believe that most of everything in our country that's even suspect in it, or I kind of wink at it or kind of say, well, this doesn't sound right, it's coming straight from the Summit of the Americas, which is through the UN. And so I went on the Internet, and evidently this thing was supposed to roll out from Europe. It is coming from the World Health Organization, and there was something on the OAS on there about this vaccine. And they're also supposed to start giving it to the girls in Brazil.
Right, of course, the thing is that this is an unproven vaccine. They're going to experiment on little girls all throughout the world. I share your concern, and if I were you, I would not have my daughters take it, Lorna.
Well, and the other thing, too, is that she brings up a good point. Cervical cancer is one of the number one killers of women worldwide, not in the United States. Typically, a lot of times when they push a vaccine, they did this with the rotavirus vaccine too, they want to use the money from the forced use of it in the United States to subsidize it in other countries. And even though women in this country don't need it, as we've talked about earlier on the show, they want us all to be forced to take it and pay for it so they can use that money to finance vaccine campaigns overseas in less in poorer economically developed countries.
And I think that's absolutely right. Anything else you want to say?
Do you think that there's a possibility that it could sterilize our children, basically? Or, I mean...
I think that anything is possible here because they have not tested it. It's kind of like when the tobacco company said, we have no proof that cigarette smoking causes cancer. What you don't look for, you're not going to find. They could easily do tests and studies on this, but they put the disclaimer in their package insert that the effect on a woman's reproductive capacity is unknown. They're telling you right up front, we can't guarantee anything. So they can't be held liable for this. They've disclaimed it. And if people consent to this vaccine and go and take it, and their daughters end up with reproductive problems, they've already disclaimed it on their package insert. You're out of luck.
It sounds like basically they do not care, or maybe they don't want our daughters having children.
Well, we'll have to wait and see, but I think we should be very, very concerned. And why are they using a vaccine that has not been thoroughly tested and trying to mandate it for everyone in America? Well, certainly, this is not simply in the state of Texas, though. This problem is existing all across the country, where the state legislatures and certainly state governors are trying to get this through. Have there been any of the other states, as far as you know, that have mandated this?
No, this is the first one so far. As a matter of fact, many of the states, the efforts have faltered. In Michigan was the first state where they almost passed it, but it failed by a few measures in the Senate. Right after some of the controversy happened with Michigan, the state of Maryland pulled down her mandate bill because of the controversy. And in Indiana, this was interesting. The bill was expected to sail through by the proponents, but it ended up that in the Public Health Committee, they watered the bill down to only require an educational piece of paper on the HPV virus instead of the vaccine mandate. So those three failures happened, and that's when the governor kicked in and made the mandate in Texas. The bill has passed through the legislature in Virginia, but the governor there has not yet, to my knowledge, signed it. But that governor also has some interesting financial ties to Merck as well. Merck announced that they would be building their plant, or they would be revamping an existing vaccine plant that would bring in millions of dollars to the economy of the state of Virginia to manufacture Gardasil, the HPV vaccine. And the governor had made some kind of tax concessions to Merck, and they have some connections there. So, you know, it seems like the states that are moving forward have governors that have ties to Merck.
You don't really think that they might be in any way influenced by monetary considerations, do you?
You know, it was shown that the governor did receive a campaign contribution from Merck on the same day that the Public Information Act request showed that their people met with the Merck lobbyists. But you know, it's not a lot of money, but, you know, you just don't know. That's the multi-billion-dollar question everybody is asking.
Well, I personally would be very, very, very suspicious that there might be money over the top of the table and under the table. But the thing is that this has not been proven to be safe, and they would not put the disclaimers on the package. So that if your child cannot develop, cannot have children, or has deformed children, or children with physical disabilities, then you can't come back and sue Merck. It's sort of like the disclaimer that they put onto the package inserts for tobacco, you know?
Absolutely.
The Surgeon General has determined this is hazardous to your health. And then when people came along later on and wanted to sue the tobacco companies, they said, look, it's right there. I mean, can't you read the disclaimers right there on the package? And you do that, and you smoked anyway. Don't hold the tobacco company guilty. And what this really was a free pass for the tobacco companies. Well, obviously, if there was nothing to worry about, they would not have those disclaimers on the package insert.
No, you don't think they could have found a few mice over the years to give this shot to see if they developed cancer? They could have at least done something, but it's not been tested at all for the development causing cancer itself. Also, the thing that is interesting here, when you look at Merck's concerted, very focused, and very aggressive lobbying campaign, going out state to state and having lobbyists all around the country, almost like that game Battleship, taking over territory, of trying to aggressively push this through so hard, so fast, One of the top people in Merck was quoted in the paper saying, with any new product rollout, they want speed, speed, speed. That was their theme. And it kind of makes you wonder, what are they trying to get through so fast and get in place before people start to realize what's going on? It is very, very concerning when the drug company that stands to make all the profit here, one manufacturer only right now at this time, was pushing this through all these efforts in each state. It is very concerning.
Well, now, what about the medical profession? Is the medical profession simply going blindly along with this? Is there anybody within the medical profession who's saying, hey, if Merck, is concerned enough to put the disclaimers onto the into the package insert, shouldn't we be concerned enough to say, why shouldn't we wait until this has been thoroughly explored and used for a matter of at least some years, or maybe on a fairly large population, maybe half a million women, before we mandate it for the whole nation, for the whole world? I mean, where is the medical profession saying, we want to be awfully sure this is not going to be another terrible vaccine tragedy?
Well, the medical profession has been voicing concerns from different fronts. There are some doctors that have been very good about being vocal about what's not known about the vaccine, some of the concerns with some of the side effects, some of the unknowns. But additionally, even those in the medical profession that normally there's never a vaccine that they didn't like and want out as soon as possible, or even voicing concern from the standpoint that it's too soon, they don't have enough data, and they're wary. They're wary because really what the stake that they stand to lose here is if something is found out to go terribly wrong with these women, the entire faith in the vaccine, the whole mandatory vaccination structure is at risk. Parents just normally just blindly comply and take their little babies in for dozens and dozens and dozens of shots as they grow up before they get in kindergarten and just turn their babies over, don't even look at the ingredients or what some of the side effects are. But if they start to see that there are some serious side effects and that there's a lot that's unknown about the long-term risk to their children with using so many shots at once together, and I think that the doctors are justifiably concerned that with so many vaccines coming out in the market, you can't just keep adding them on and vaccinate our kids into oblivion.
Now, is this a live vaccine or is this just a genetically engineered
vaccine? It's a genetically engineered virus. It is not a live vaccine at all. Do you know, Dr. Stan, today, right now, at this time, in vaccine development, there are vaccines being developed for HIV, for tobacco, obesity, chlamydia, heroin addiction, and cocaine addiction. If you look at the number of lives affected and the monetary cost from these, it's far greater than those caused by cervical cancer. Are we going to wake up one day and find that our babies and children are being viewed as potential fat-smoking, promiscuous drug addicts who are going to be mandated to be vaccinated with all of these vaccines as well? Are we going to wake up and have the governor of all the states issuing executive orders to make our kids get a tobacco vaccine or an obesity vaccine? Where do we draw the line over who decides? We're no longer just talking about illnesses where, somebody coughs on you in school and then you get a cough and pass it on. We're talking about lifestyle things. We're talking about choices, and we're talking about things that people, it's far beyond just infectious diseases at this point. And what's so concerning is that the long-term effects of these vaccines, all given together, are not being studied. And we just keep giving our kids more and more. And as we do that, their health is deteriorating more and more. And nobody is really giving adequate cause to the study of looking at that connection.
Well, of course, certainly we see skyrocketing levels of asthma in our children. We see skyrocketing levels of autoimmune disease, which, of course, you get from stimulating the immune system in our children. We see skyrocketing levels of type 1 diabetes, which we never saw when I was certainly in medical school, and so many children developed this type 1 diabetes now that never got it before. Then, of course, we see the skyrocketing levels of autism and other neurodevelopmental abnormalities, and some people think that one in six American children has some sort of a neurodevelopmental abnormality. Other people think that probably every child has, but we just can't measure all of them. But, nobody wants to stop and ask, why is the health of our children actually declining? In fact, children coming from underdeveloped countries, third world countries, don't have most of these diseases of the pathological obesity. It's only when they come to America they begin to develop the asthma and the autoimmune disease and the allergic disease and the type 1 diabetes. And of course, I don't know why they get it when they get here. And nobody seems to want to ask that question. Well, I guess it's been Don Richardson, and of course Don has... Don, let's get your website out just one more time.
Sure, it's vaccineinfo.net, www.vaccineinfo, you spell it out all one word, .net.
All right, fine, we'll hang on here. We're just going to be wrapping up this program in just a moment. This has been a fascinating, discussion. And of course, if you want to get a copy of the program, why, you give us a call at 1-888-1-800-544-8927. And we'll be back in just a moment to wrap up this evening's program here at Radio Liberty. Well, Don, do you have anything, what would you like to say in closing? We've got 3 minutes to close up the program.
Okay, this HPV vaccine, we have questionable necessity and effectiveness of the vaccine. It was tested in just under 1,200 little girls under the age of 16. Cervical cancer takes decades to develop. The virus takes decades to incubate. There's no proof that the vaccine is going to prevent your daughter from developing cervical cancer. Additionally, we have questionable safety concerns. We have hundreds of reports to the Food and Drug Administration of serious side effects. We have disclaimers on the package insert that say the vaccine isn't tested for its ability to cause cancer, to affect a woman's reproductive system, and the vaccine itself is genetically engineered, and it's a genetically engineered virus. Also, the girls receiving all three doses, I promised this number earlier, would be injected with 675 micrograms of aluminum by getting all three doses. It's a huge cost on our healthcare system. We have few precious resource dollars to put into healthcare in this country, and to take this amount of money, huge billions of dollars, to spend on a cancer that represents 0.006% of all cancer deaths when we need women to have access to health care, it is a shame to spend this money to force this vaccine when most, 90% of the women clear the virus on their own with no consequences, and only about 3% of the population will have these strains of the virus, and a lot of those women will go on to clear it on their own. So it is just a boondoggle. It is a huge amount of money. It's questionably, the safety is questionable, the necessity and effectiveness is questionable, and if you have an 11-year-old daughter and you're confident that she is not sexually active at this time, you really have the opportunity to sit back and wait and see what happens, and don't let your daughter be a guinea pig.
And the other thing that really disturbs me is the fact that they would put on the package insert that they have not tested this vaccine to determine whether it would cause cancer. That, to me, is devastating.
Yes, it's supposed to be an anti-cancer vaccine. Why wouldn't you test it whether it can cause cancer or not? That's crazy.
Well, I think that sometimes I think we live in a world gone mad, and at other times I'm absolutely convinced we live in a world gone mad. Well, I guess it's been Don Richardson, a fascinating program. And
Dr. Stan, one thing for the parents out there, call your state representatives and senators. Don't sit back and let you be victimized by the marketing of Merck and the lobbying of Merck. Do something. All they need to do is hear from their constituents to know, to do what they think is right. They need the backing of the people, and let them know you don't want this forced on your kids in your state. Pick up the phone and call them. Write them letters. Be involved. Don't sit back and let this happen and be a victim.
And remember, we don't want to help pay for...
Help pay for Viox. HPV. Help pay for Viox. Absolutely.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Well, this is Dr. Stan here. I hope you enjoyed the program tonight as much as I did. And I learned so much from Don. And if you'd like to get a copy of this program, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. You need to make copies. You need to get it out far and wide. You can get either an audio tape or a CD of the program at 1-800-544-8927. And then go to Don Richardson's website and pull down the information. Don is a mother. She's got children of her own. But she's concerned about other children. about other mothers' children, and you should be as well. They're experimenting on our children. They've done the same thing with hepatitis B vaccine, which they're giving to children in the nursery. Why are they giving it to children in the nursery? Well, there's absolutely no way that these children are going to get the infection until they become sexually active, and if they're not sexually active, they're not going to get this disease. Well, the incidence, you know, of there far more complications from taking the hepatitis B vaccine than there are people who contract the disease in adolescence. It just doesn't occur. But throughout the world, if you look throughout the world, 2 billion people have had hepatitis B vaccine in third world countries. 2 billion people in China alone, about 120 million people are carriers of the disease. How did they get the disease? Why in China? Why? Of course, everybody got it, but almost everybody got it, but most of the people have been able to throw it off. With about 120 million carriers there. How did they get the disease? Why, when they were doing vaccinations, which were advocated by the World Health Organization, they used dirty needles. And they infected the whole population, and then the chronic carrier mothers gave it to their children, and the children, many of them, became chronic carriers. But it all came about because of a vaccination program in the 60s and 70s. How could they have been that stupid unintentionally? Ladies and gentlemen, there really are evil and wicked people out there in the world. You could not have done something that stupid. This is the same way they've spread diseases throughout Africa, using dirty needles. It's expensive for the vaccines, but needle costs you a penny, and yet they don't have a penny. They have to use those dirty needles over and over again, spreading disease, because, of course, we're from the United States, and we're here to help you. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we got a real problem. And we've got people out there who have a different worldview, a different agenda. If you've not yet seen my talk, Planned Population Reduction, you need to get it. And we talk about the hepatitis B vaccine. We talk about how they managed to spread the HIV epidemic in China. The most incredible story you've ever heard. That's Planned Population Reduction, either DVD or video. It's a well over 2-hour talk. If you can stand hearing me talk for 2 hours. And then, of course, we have our video on the population control. We have our 4-tape set on population control, which tells you the truth about why they outlawed DDT. But, of course, that's a message that you're never to know. You're supposed to think that they outlawed DDT because it was harmful. Oh, my goodness. Rachel Carson, The Silent Spring. No, DDT was outlawed because it was saving too many lives. And now, 33 years later, after it was banned in the United States, the World Health Organization has said, aw shucks, we just made a mistake. It's really safe. We can go ahead and start spraying the rooms in African countries, and we'll save an awful lot of lives. In underdeveloped countries, 300 million to 500 million people every year contract malaria and are chronically disabled by it. And it's estimated over a 3-year period, with 3 million people dying, every year. And when they tell you only 1 million die, they're simply lying. They don't want you to know how many people they've killed by outlawing DDT. Because you might understand then the population control agenda. If you've not yet read my monograph, it's up on my internet site, RadioLiberty.com. That's RadioLiberty.com. Pull down the population control agenda monograph. Or you can request it if you call us at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. And please pray for Radio Liberty. This is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for the survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality and not illusion or delusion that will determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and, well, for this hour, Deborah Dabrowski is going to be with us, and we're going to be talking about The Secret. Now, The Secret is really an amazing, amazing phenomenon, because it certainly became introduced here in America just a very, very short period of time ago, but it was popularized within its last few weeks by Oprah Winfrey and then the Larry King Show. It is available both in DVD and in a book form. And The Secret basically is the mysterious message that's been passed down through the centuries by the mystery religions. And there really is a secret that has been passed down through the mystery religions. And as the author of the DVD and book tells us, this secret was known to Plato and to the ancient philosophers. It has been known to the leaders of the world for millennia. It was certainly known to people like Einstein and other of the great minds of the past, and certainly to people like Thomas Edison. And they promised then to tell you the secret and transform your life. Well, let's get Deborah's response. Deborah, what do you think about The Secret? What do you think about its impact on society? And will The Secret bring the prosperity and, of course, the success that they promised the people of this country?
Well, hi, Stan. And thank you for having me on tonight. Well, as you said, The Secret has become very popular, especially in the last month or so, because it has been on Oprah. The book came out, I believe, last... I'm trying to remember. The DVD came out last spring, and the book came out last fall, and the publishers just went to print with 2 million more copies of the book, so it now is... There's about 3.75 million copies of the book in print, and so it's pretty phenomenal what's going on. Some say it's taking the world by storm, but like you say, the concept behind it has really been around for a very, very long time. In fact, we believe it goes right back to the Garden of Eden when the serpent deceived Eve, saying that she could be like God, because that's what's really behind this whole... It's occultism, and yet it's coming across as it's based on what's called the law of attraction. Basically, you think about something enough and you focus on it, you can make that happen. And it really stems from this idea that we are co-creators, meaning that we are, that this God is, it's not separate, like there's not a personal God and then us, sinners that need a savior. It's more that we are also God, therefore we are also creators. We can create our own reality. And that's what really is behind it.
Well, could you explain the whole idea? How does this thing really work? In other words, let's imagine that you want to get something in the world. How do you go about getting it?
Well, according to The Secret, you have to focus on it. And something interesting happened. There were actually two versions of the film. The first one, and I don't know how much your listeners know about the film itself, but Rhonda Byrne from Australia is the one who wrote the book, believed that she had this secret, wrote the book, it became the DVD. She got her inspiration, you could say, from Esther Hicks.
Hold that thought, we'll be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. Well, I guess it's Deborah Dabrowski, and Deborah is telling us that the author of the book got her inspiration from a woman named Esther Hicks. You pick up the story there.
Right, and in the acknowledgments of The Secret, Rhonda thanks Esther, Jerry, her husband, and Esther Hicks, and she also thanks the teachings of Abraham. And now Ray might have mentioned this when he was on a couple nights ago, but the teachings of Abraham are a group of spirit guides that speak to Esther Hicks and give her instruction, spiritual instruction. Rhonda Byrne is a disciple of Esther Hicks. Well, in the first version of the film, Esther Hicks was in that film quite a bit. Then apparently there was a falling out, and the version that actually has come out does not have Esther Hicks in it. But Esther Hicks is a major meditator. And so while the DVD that came out to the main public is not talking much about meditation, the people that are in the DVD and Michael Beckwith and others like that, Jack Canfield, most people know what Chicken Soup for the Soul is. And these people are, meditation is, when you ask how do you get that, meditation plays a big part of that, because if you can put yourself into a meditative state and you can get rid of distractions, you can focus on something, supposedly then you can have anything you want. Of course, we believe that that power that they're accessing is not God, and it is a demonic power.
Well, they call it the universe, and they refer to being able to mobilize the universe around you, that you have that inherent ability to mobilize the universe simply by focusing on what you want. Maybe you want a new car.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you want a new house. Maybe you want a new job, or maybe you want $1 million. And all you have to do is focus on it, and these things will come to you. And the problem is, of course, when you open your mind to demonic spirits, what you're really doing is you're inviting these demonic spirits into your life. And many times, you may very well get a new house. You may very well get a new job. Or you may very well get rewarded, and you may very well obtain a great deal of money. But, of course, what's the price people are going to pay? And that is the question that is never asked here. Where does this power, this spirit, where do the rewards come from? We'll be back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan. You know, Deborah, the problem is that so many Americans really do not understand that there is a dimension we live in, and then there is a spiritual dimension. There is another dimension where the spiritual war for the souls of men is being fought.
Right.
Do you want to sort of elaborate on that idea?
And even many Christians, I think, you know, maybe they forget what the Bible says, that there is a spiritual realm, and that, you know, so often we tend to think that everything we see is what is going on, and that our 80 years or whatever of life is the magnitude of that, but that's not the case. And of course, and the thing is with the whole supernatural thing, because there are results sometimes, people often think, well, this must be a good thing. In fact, in public schools, they're introducing yoga more and more and taking kids off Ritalin and getting them to meditate. And I'm imagining many parents think that's great. You know, while we can get our kids off, you know, Ritalin, the drug, but now they're going to meditate, and if they see results, they don't see anything wrong with it. And it's very dangerous.
And I don't think that most people understand that these concepts, these techniques of yoga and meditation, these techniques have been used in India and certainly in the Orient for literally thousands of years,
right,
to contact demonic spirits.
Right. Right, and it really is very, it can be very deceiving, you know, especially if people, you know, sometimes we'll get a lot of calls from people, and sometimes people will say, well, that whole New Age thing is just silly. Well, actually, it's not silly. It's wrong, and it's dangerous, but it isn't silly, because it is real. And the secret, now, there's been some criticism that, you know, even talking about the secret, that it's got that silliness to it. But in reality, the people that are promoting it take it very, very serious. In fact, Oprah said that she, when she was talking about it, and it's, I think she's talked had a special on her program twice now in the last week or two, she said that for 20 years, this is the message she's been trying to get out to people. She goes, I didn't call it the secret, but I've been trying to say this very thing for 20 years. Oprah is taking it very serious. And she has millions of listeners or viewers.
Let me just read something briefly that Oprah had said when talking about this. Fragments of a great secret have been found in the oral traditions and literature and religions and philosophies throughout the centuries. For the first time, all the pieces of the secret come together in an incredible revelation that will be life-transforming for all who experience it. Mm. In this book, you'll learn how to use the secret in every aspect of your life. Money, health, relationships, happiness, and in every interaction you have in the world. You begin to understand the hidden untapped power that's within you, and this revelation can bring joy to every aspect of your life. Now that's a pretty powerful statement coming from one of the most wealthy, one of the most influential women in the whole world,
mm-hmm.
Oprah Winfrey, who is a very spiritual woman. But, of course, the spiritualism she has is not the spiritualism of the God of the Bible, but it is the spiritualism of the other side, of tapping into the other side, and Oprah's got great wealth and great success and great popularity, and millions of even Christian women listen to her every day and hang on her every word. And what frightens me, Deborah, is I think an awful lot of people are going to be taken in by this promise.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could have all the wealth we ever wanted,
right,
all the success we ever wanted, all the prominence and fame we ever wanted, but people never stop and ask what it would be the price we'll have to pay for it.
Mm-hmm. No, that's right. And, you know, Oprah really is respected, too, by people. And since we came out with a couple articles on it, we've been contacted by some Christian women who actually thought she was a Christian. And Oprah says she's a Christian. In fact, I just heard her. I was watching a video clip of the second time she was talking about the secret. And she was actually being challenged in the audience. There was a Christian woman there, and she talked to her about this and challenged her. And Oprah said, well, I'm a Christian. And Ray Youngin would say she would be a New Age, you know, it's not really a possibility. You can't really be a New Age Christian, but that's what he would term it as. Or an Alice Bailey Christian, because there really is the occult behind it. And if there's the occult behind it, then it cannot be biblical Christianity, because they totally contradict each other. One says that, you know, we are sinners, we need a Savior. The other says, no, you are God, and you can have anything you want. In fact, I had an interesting phone call, if I could share this with you.
Please
just
do.
A few days ago. We have a website that a lot of people go to, and sometimes, let's say you are on Google and you type in something you're looking for, sometimes our website comes up before the thing you're looking for. And we get calls from people looking for all kinds of, you know, well-known people. And the other day, we got a call, and the woman was looking for Barbara Marx Hubbard. And I don't know how many of your listeners know who that is, but she's one of the top New Agers today, and she's, you know, still very active in bringing about this paradigm, I guess you could call it. And the woman that called me, she was looking for a book, but she had thought she had reached Barbara Marx Hubbard's organization, and I told her who I was and what we did, and we got to talking. And she had been raised a Christian, but she, through various things, she ended up becoming a very staunch New Ager and a serious meditator. And she was telling me in her earlier days as a Christian that she spent a lot of her time, and I don't know that she was ever truly a Christian, only, you know, the Lord knows that. I don't know really what happened there. But she was saying how she was just giving all the time, helping people and helping the homeless and doing these things. She said that she came to really realize that basically what she said was,
I realized that where I really needed to put my focus was on my inner self. And she had really become very self-absorbed, and I told her. I said, I think you might have been closer to the kingdom of God before. I said, because the thing with the New Age, and it's the same with the secret. It's all about, you know, what can I get for myself? How can I make my world today on this earth better? And it isn't about the things that Jesus said about dying to self and letting him take our lives and control our lives. It's basically we're going to control our lives. We're going to be co-creators. We're going to do this. We're going to do that. We're going to have this. We're going to have that. And so it was really a sad conversation, I felt, because this woman was in complete darkness. And, you know, so the secret is not something that is going to... In fact, when I listened or watched the DVD, I told Ray afterwards, he's our... By the way, I mentioned him. He's one of our authors in our publishing company. And I told him, I said, it's interesting because never once did they ever say... the secret is going to make you a more loving person. It's going to make you a better person in the sense of a more giving. It didn't talk about, you know, godly attributes. It talked about, you know, you can have the soulmate of your dreams. You can have the house of your dreams. And that was, to me, very obvious.
Well, I think really what's so interesting, of course, is the author of this whole concept. Her name is, of course, Rhonda Byrne. And she basically talks about how all of these people who are the masters, these people who recognize the secret for many, many years, have sought her out. And so she used these as experts in the course of the film to, you know, to explain to the listeners the power that is there. And all you have to do is claim it. I mean, it's a very, very simple thing. All you have to do is visualize what you want. And you sort of put yourself in an altered state. You sit there. You concentrate on that new car that you want to get. And you imagine, you put your hands on the steering wheel of this imaginary car. And you move them up and down, and you steer the car. And then you put your hand down and you shift the gears on this car. Now you're just sitting there in your living room, but you're visualizing all of this. You're sitting in the car, you're steering the car, you're shifting the gears in the car, and they actually show pictures there in the DVD of this fellow. They're reaching down and shifting the car, and then they say, and then the car is going to come, and then the scene shifts, and there is this person who's been sitting in the chair driving the car. Now, as incredible as this seems, you know, to the people out there in the listening audience, the problem is that many times this actually works. I've talked to people who've been into this, who've been able to obtain great wealth and prosperity and power by doing it. But what they're doing is tapping into the occult realm, which we're forbidden to do in the Bible. We're told to stay away from sorcerers and to fortune tellers. And the diviners, and all of these people who are tapping into the other dimension. The tragedy is today, Deborah, and it really bothers me, is I don't think the people in thy churches are being educated properly in the scriptures. I don't think they understand the other dimension. I don't think they recognize the danger of demonic possession. I don't think they believe that a Christian could possibly be, of course, demonically possessed or demonically obsessed. And I think, of course, many, of course, are going to be in very real trouble once, of course, they begin dabbling in the occult. What are your thoughts?
Well, I totally agree with that. And one of the concerns that, the big concern we have is the fact that so much of Christendom today is becoming very immersed in meditation, Eastern meditation, mysticism, and basically the occult. And many of our leaders are saying nothing about it. There's no warning going on, as if spiritual deception is something that doesn't even exist, when the Bible very clearly says it does exist.
Hold that thought. Our guest is Deborah Dombrowski. Dombrowski will be back in just a moment here at Radio Liberty. And, of course, we were just talking with Deborah about spiritual deception. And the problem is that if Christians don't understand, if they've never been educated, if they don't understand that there is a dimension that we live in, and there's a dimension the spirits live in, and there's some people who, of course, have dabbled in the occult, who can actually bridge that dimension from one, from the realm we live in to the other realm, and of course obtain these supernatural powers. But of course they don't understand that all of these people have opened themselves to demonic possession. And you're going to get a new house, you're going to get a new job, you're going to get a new car, but there's a price to pay. And you may not pay it out of your pocket, but you'll pay it, you know, in eternity, and you'll play it, of course, with your very, very survival as a human being, and with, of course, because the devil is going to actually demand payment sooner or later. How do you get this idea over to people?
As far as
You know, if you're going to receive all of these things, you're going to have to pay for them. Maybe not with dollars, but certainly with perhaps your eternal salvation.
Well, right. When I was talking to this woman that called that was a New Ager, I, you know, knew I had just a brief time to perhaps share, you know, the gospel with her, and I tried to explain, you know, that kingdom of darkness and just the contrast there with the kingdom of light, you know, to Jesus Christ. The Bible says that when we become born again, we're translated into the kingdom of light. And it's difficult to explain to people if they don't understand the spirit realm or don't really believe in it or don't think it's that big of a deal. I think that the church is in trouble because, and if the church is in trouble, definitely the world's in trouble if we can't get it right. It just seems like everything is kind of a free-for-all right now in Christendom and in the world. When you've got such a high level of, I guess you could say, supernatural activity going on, as perhaps never before. I don't know if it's ever been this intense before with, you know, when you've got children being taught yoga. I had a call today from a man, and he had put his wife on the phone. She's a nurse, a Christian nurse, and she has to do some continuing education. And she brought home some books, and they were looking at them together. And one of them, and this is the education she's going to get is through a Christian university. And the book is called, and this was very interesting, this happened today, and I'll tell you why, because of the show tonight. The book is by Wayne Dyer, who's one of the top New Agers, and the book is called The Power of Intention. And that book is basically the same. In fact, I just talked to Ray about it before I came on the air. The book is basically the same as The Law of Attraction. And it's that whole idea that you can focus on things, and if it's your intention, you can get those things. You can make it happen. And so here was a woman, a Christian family. She had just been given this book that she was supposed to go through. And this was from a Christian university, by a man who believes that God is in everything. He believes in, he practices the occult. He may not call it the occult. He calls it, you know, a higher consciousness.
Hold on, that will be right back in just a moment. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Deborah was simply saying that today why a Christian nurse had called her. She'd gone to a continuing education program at a Christian university and been given a book by a New Ager. Of course, they weren't warned, it was from a New Ager, who was talking about this cosmic consciousness and how, of course, you can get whatever you want to by simply concentrating on it, which is basically the message of The Secret. And, you know, the difficulty is that Christians all across America at this time in history are suddenly being introduced to this, and most Christians are not prepared to understand what's going on because they're not told about the other dimension. They're not told about the occult forces that are at work. They're not told that demons are not imaginary and something you see on television. There's something that is really very real and want to claim their souls. And if you're not prepared going into battle, why you're going to lose that battle and that old idea, you know, of course. For we struggle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore put ye on the full armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand, and having done all, to withstand. Well, if you don't know there's a battle going on, how can you possibly put on the armor? How can you withstand against it?
Well, it's interesting, just to say something about what you just said, too. Oh, and by the way, Wayne Dyer, the man I just mentioned, he wrote the foreword to the book that the Hicks wrote. The Hicks are the ones that have the teachings of Abraham. I wanted to mention that. But what's interesting is in our studies of, we are getting ready to do a book on the emerging church, and we've read a lot of the books, you know, Rick Warren and different Erwin McManus and all these people. And you very rarely hear anything about that scripture that you just read. You don't hear about spiritual warfare and about the powers and the principalities of darkness. They don't talk about it. And so therefore, you know, Rick Warren, you've got 400,000 churches throughout the world that have done the purpose-driven program. So basically, Christians are not being equipped to deal with this kind of thing. And so they are perfect targets for this things like the secret. Now, in the Christian world, we've got the same thing coming in through the word of faith. That's been around for a while, but it's really the same thing.
So, name it and claim it a bit?
Mm-hmm. Right. Right, like the name and claim it. And really, the spiritual formation movement, which Ray Youngen has written about in his book, the contemplative spirituality, we also call it, it's really a form of divination. The idea with divination is you do a ritual or you do a method in order to get some information, to gain something. Well, the contemplative prayer movement is the same thing. It's saying, okay, you do this method, you repeat this word or phrase over and over for 20 minutes or however long, and the idea is you get some information from God. You hear from God. And so it's the same thing, and we believe it's occultism, just as the secret is. It's just coming across very deceptively because it has Christian terminology around it, and so people don't even stop and think this actually, just because something might sound Christian, it says Satan comes as an angel of light and his ministers as ministers of righteousness. Which means that demons can look righteous, at least to, you know, that's what it says.
Well, of course, if they were dressed with in all in black, maybe with a tail and horns and a pitchfork, you'd recognize them for what they were.
Exactly.
But they're not going to dress like that. They're going to be beautiful beings.
And that scripture was given to us for warning, and we seem to, you know, as a whole, in the church and, you know, in the world too, don't take heed to that. But that was a warning from the Lord to tell us that there is a spiritual realm that is not looking out for our best, that is dangerous, and will get us into big trouble.
Well, you know, I think the thing is that people are constantly reading the scriptures. They're going to be aware of what's going on, and we're going to be constantly reminded of the spiritual dimension. We're involved in a spiritual battle for the souls of men, the survival of Christian civilization. But if you're not in the scriptures, if you're involved in all sorts of other things and clubs and activities and getting money, and then somebody comes along and says, look, you don't have to work so hard. All you have to do is begin to apply the secret. And you know other people have applied it, and they're happy, and they're successful. Why shouldn't you join and share in that success? And we'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, and what people really don't understand is that, you know, 30 years ago, we didn't see this sort of thing in the United States. I mean, the whole country was still then a Christian nation, and then it was certainly in probably 25 years or so ago when the New Age began to come forward and more people began to be drawn into this alternative lifestyle. It really is an alternative lifestyle because you have alternative goals. And Marilyn Ferguson wrote a book, The Aquarian Conspiracy, where she talked about this, this widespread movement within America, where these people had adopted a new spirituality, and in many respects they had broken with the traditions of the past. They had broken with Western civilization. And then Constance Cumby came out with her book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow, and Christians 25 years ago began waking up to the fact that there was this other dimension. And of course we talked about it. Constance really had a tremendous influence on the thought of the American people for a time, and then of course she went back to her law practice. The churches stopped talking about this, stopped putting on courses about it, and then we forgot about it. Mm-hmm. And then we began to evolve, we began to accept some of these ideas that maybe we needed something more than just the old gospel. Maybe we ought to try new methods of gospel. Maybe we needed a better way to sell Christianity. Maybe Rick Warren and this church growth movement was a way to reach a lot of people for the Lord. And really, what's wrong with success? Look at the mega churches. 5,000 people, 10,000 people, 20,000 people in some of these churches, 30,000 people in some of these churches. I mean, how could that not be of the Lord when it's succeeding?
Mm.
And of course, what nobody ever mentions is maybe that success is not coming from the Lord. Maybe it's coming from the other dimension. Have you thought of that, Deborah?
Well, I've thought about that a lot. And it's true. People have said to us, well, you know, look at the success, look at the numbers. It must be from the Lord. But, you know, I often think, what's happened with the church growth movement, the seeker friendly, the idea, they said that they wanted to get unchurched and unsaved people into the churches. Okay, that's fine, you know, bring them in. But to keep them there, one of two things has to happen. They have to truly become saved, or you have to change the message so that it's no longer offensive.
Hold that thought, we'll be right back with Deborah. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Deborah was simply talking about the church growth movement and the impact it's had on our society. And the message of the church growth movement was, look, we want to sell Christianity, and we want to do the Lord's work. And so we've got to get the people into the church to hear the message, and we'll do that by, we'll change the message of the church, and we'll change the music of the church so people won't feel threatened, and they won't feel that they have to, you know, be so formal and dressed up, and they can be more casual in coming to church, and why, it won't be like going to church at all. And of course, the trouble is that this technique does work, and more and more people kept coming to church. But then Deborah said, you know, the only way you're going to be able to keep them in church is to change permanently the message of the church. Otherwise, of course, they're going to leave. They're not going to want to be there. And whether you're telling them they're sinners, that they need a Savior, that they may be very well doomed to hell if they certainly don't go along with these ideas, that there is punishment for sin. People don't like to hear that sort of thing. We want a happy message. We want a message that God loves everybody and everybody's going to go to heaven. That's the sort of God we like. Never one that might hold us to standards or tell us that thou shalt not do this or thou shalt not do that or not do something else. And so I think Deborah's point is the only way you're going to be able to hold these large numbers of people in the sinful world is simply to change the message of the church and make it more acceptable to the world. Would that be a fair
statement?
Well,
that's true because... Oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go right ahead.
Well, I was going to say, you know, the Scripture says that the message of the cross, the gospel message,
is a fragrance to those who are saved and have come, you know, to Jesus Christ. But it is not a fragrance to those who have yet or will never have that faith. It's not offensive to them. There's a book that I just read, it's not a recommendation here by any means, by Dan Kimball, called They Like Jesus But Not the Church. It's I just did a book review on it. It was not a very pleasant book to read, I'll say that right now. And basically he was talking about non-Christians. They like Jesus but not the church, and I came up with a new title for it. I thought, well, what it should be called is They Like Another Jesus But Not the Church, the Bible, Morality, or the Truth. Because what he said in there is, if we would just change the way we are, not talk so Christianized, with so much Christian language, and he gave all kinds of examples, but if we could just, you know, maybe go and hang out with them in their places and not be, and I'm not saying that we don't, we should definitely reach out to the lost, absolutely. But for his reason is that we need to be liked by them more. Well, and that Jesus, you know, will be liked by them more if we can do these certain things. But what we really need to do in love is present the truth to people. And the truth of it is, if people that were not saved knew the real Jesus, or knew, you know, what he stood for, they actually wouldn't like him. Not until they bowed their knee to him and said, "Be my Lord." Because when we're in blindness, I think that's what they don't like, is the fact that they see it as something very restrictive, because they don't know him yet. They don't know him in a personal way.
And I think, Deborah, the thing is that certainly we don't like a God that tells us we can't do this, we can't do that.
Right.
He's a killjoy. He's got all these restrictions on our life.
Right.
And people don't understand that, you know, if you don't have restrictions on your life, well, you're going to have moral anarchy.
Right.
And freedom is not the ability to do what you want to do.
Right.
Freedom is the ability to do what you should do according to God's law. And those who will not be ruled by God will, of course, be ruled by tyrants politically, but they'll be ruled by Satan spiritually.
Mm-hmm.
And that is really what's happening. And you're either going to have to do what God wants you to do and be subservient to him, or you may think that you're going to have freedom, you know, by following Satan, by following your own personal desires. But your own personal desires will lead you into following Satan's path, and eventually there will be a terrible price to pay.
Mm-hmm. You know, and one of the concerns that we have is many of the Christian leaders seemed, you mentioned a little while ago about 20 years ago with some of the books that came out that were really warning people, Christians, about the New Age, and there's situations happening now where some that wrote those books have actually seem like they're going toward the New Age, Christian leaders. And I could give you a very good example if you want one.
Go ahead. I know who you're going to be mentioning, and I was shocked when I read, you know, what he's writing now, because I've always thought he was one of the great giants of Christendom. But I don't think we should not pull. We should pull our punches, because I believe we are in the most dangerous times our nation has ever been. So,
right.
Well, go ahead, Doug.
Well, I'm talking about David Jeremiah, and he wrote a book, I think in around 1991, called Invasions of Other Gods. Excellent book, warning against the New Age, warned against meditation and several things like that. 10 years later, in 2003, he wrote a book called Life Wide Open. And in that book, he was quoting Peter Senge, who is a Buddhist sympathizer, Sue Monk Kidd, who is was a Baptist Sunday school teacher at one time, but is a goddess, into goddess spirituality now. She says that God is in everything, even in human waste, or I don't think she says human waste, into waste, and I mean, it's pretty bad. And so here's a, and then what happened, David Jeremiah recently began talking about Irwin McManus, who is, we consider him one of the emerging church leaders. And we couldn't really understand why he would be promoting him. He wasn't just talking about him, he was promoting him in a Sunday service. And he also endorsed the back cover of his book called Seizing Your Divine Moment. That's McManus's book. Well, the reason I'm bringing this up also is because I'm going to tie it in with The Secret, okay? And to show people just how serious the situation is with the Christian leaders and Christendom at large. Irwin McManus, he wrote a book called The Barbarian Way. And one of the things he said in there is that the book, well, he said about his book that the core of that book was mysticism. Now, this is a guy who said that the greatest enemy to the movement of Jesus Christ is Christianity, which that may seem kind of, at first people might think, well, okay, maybe that's okay to say that. But what they're saying, he and others are saying, is that, same thing as Dan Kimball is saying in his book, Christianity is bad, Christians are bad, the church is bad, but we like Jesus. But we say, which Jesus are you talking about? Paul, in the Apostle Paul said, be careful when they come preaching another gospel and another Jesus. So anyway, with Irwin McManus being promoted so much by David Jeremiah, and like I say, he was on the back cover of the book, and that still, you can still read that on Irwin McManus's website, the endorsement by David Jeremiah. Recently, a man, just like a week or two ago, a man named John Gordon, he wrote a book called The 10-Minute Energy Solution. And interestingly, Ray talked about him in his book, A Time of Departing, but on a different matter. But John Gordon is a New Ager. He said this once in his book, you came from this source, speaking of God, and you are this source. And he quotes people like the Dalai Lama and big meditator Daniel Goleman, Thich Nhat Hanh, New Ager, Marilyn Ferguson, Wayne Dyer, Course in Miracles, this type of thing. Okay, in his newsletter just 2 weeks ago, I was kind of shocked when I read it. I'm going to just read you this one short thing he wrote. I think people need to hear it. And this is from his newsletter on his website. He said, while having dinner the other night with Irwin McManus, author of Soul Cravings, and a person who has had a profound impact on my life, we discussed The Secret. And Irwin made a great point that we need to explain there is a secret behind the secret. And then he goes on to explain what that secret behind the secret is. And I'm going to paraphrase here just for time-wise. Irwin McManus, they were talking, and basically what Irwin was saying is, it's not really about getting everything you want, like The Secret is saying. What it really is, to make God's wish come true, is that heaven would on earth, and God would live in each side of, God would live inside each one of us. And he says we are co-creators. There's that word again, co-creators of our life with God. We are both creating and being created at the same time. The universe is not some magic genie that says, your wish is my command. And then he says that what the real thing is, not getting a bunch of stuff, but it's really understanding that God lives in each person. And I believe that this really shows the spirituality of Irwin McManus. And that means that the church is in really big trouble.
Well, I think the church is in trouble. I think society is in trouble.
Society's in trouble. The
and
church
I think
is
that
in trouble.
It is not happening just by accident. That this is all coming together at the same time. This is not the first time these demonic forces have been apparent in the world. This was the religion of most of the world in the past, and is still the religion of most of the world today. I mean, Western civilization, Christian civilization, is an abnormality. It's unusual. where people, of course, were ruled by God rather than by these demonic spirits. And certainly this, the demonic spiritualism was certainly the religion of ancient Babylon and Persia. And it was certainly found in ancient Egypt. And certainly the masters, people, leaders have tapped into this supernatural power down through the ages. And they've had, of course, great success. And we can recount them in a new DVD I'm putting out called Forbidden Secret, which will be available, I hope, in another week or so. Why, you're going to be able to, of course, understand how this has been passed down from generation to generation, from century to century, from millennia to millennia. But here in America, things were different for almost 200 years. And only recently have we seen this resurgence of these dark spiritual forces here on Earth. It's happening just as we seem to be, of course, getting into more and more trouble as a nation financially. We seem to be moving away from individual freedom here, and in the name of protecting ourselves from Osama bin Laden, we're giving up all of our freedom. And then we may very well be on the verge of a nuclear confrontation in the Near East or in the Middle East. I mean, it seems like society, like the church, like America is heading into a crisis situation. Have you thought about that? That simply you can't divorce what's happening spiritually from what's happening economically, from what's happening
right.
politically?
Well, and 1 Timothy 4:1 says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils." It goes on, and then in 2 Thessalonians, "Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come." It's talking about the day of the Lord, or, you know, the end times, "except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed." But the Bible says that there will come a time before Christ returns when there will be great delusion, and people will actually be following doctrines of devils, which, really, the secret, that's what that is. The teachings of Abraham are doctrines of demons, and the secret is based on that.
And I really think it's so important that people understand that there is power there that you can tap into, and you will be successful, but at the price of your eternal soul. Avoid this. Understand we're involved in a spiritual battle, and you're going to have to decide whose side you're on. Now, certainly, are you getting more and more people concerned about the secret? Are they concerned about it? Or do you think more and more people are intrigued by it and saying, well, what's the harm in trying? What can I lose by just giving it a try? Maybe it would work.
I think there are some Christians who are very concerned. You know, we do hear from a lot of those ones. But what we're hearing from a lot of them, they're telling us that family members are not concerned and that they are intrigued by the secret. And so the ones calling us are usually the ones that are very concerned. But they're telling us stories about people they know, family or friends, who, you know, I mean, it's like you've just been offered, maybe you're, you know, in your 30s and you've never been married and you've always wanted just that perfect person, but you just haven't been able to meet anybody, and now you watch this show, because one of the things they show in The Secret is this, I think this is in the trailer of it, I'm not sure, I can't remember enough, this is in the actual show. They show a girl who, you know, is lonely, and suddenly there, she, if she does the right thing, she actually can get, you know, the man of her dreams. And so, what person is not lonely at times, or what person doesn't need more money or would like a nicer car? And so people are being enticed very strongly, and it's amazing how sneaky the enemy is, because Oprah is like your, you know, just someone that is very trustworthy. I've seen her a couple times. I haven't really watched Oprah, but I have seen it a couple times. And she's a very warm, friendly person. You know, like you said, it's not like she's coming out in a cape with horns, and, you know, she's, you know, and I'm not saying Oprah's the devil by any means, but I am saying I do believe she is very deceived.
I think
deceiving a lot of people.
I think there are a lot of people who are deceived out there. I think there are a lot of people who are looking for answers.
You know, and if only they could see that Jesus Christ, he offers true life, and he offers joy and peace and all of the things that it may look like the secret is offering those things, but it's a disguise for something terrible.
It certainly is, and Chris, people have forgotten it. It was in about by 1730, the United States had become very much of a pagan nation, and many of these same spiritual forces were at work here. People had fallen away from God, and then came the first great awakening, and John Wesley and Jonathan Edwards, and people turned back to God. And then, of course, for 100 years, things were not too bad, and then, of course, we gradually went into apostasy, and then came the second great awakening, about 1830, Charles Finney. But where are our leaders today? Well, Deborah, certainly, one more time, how can people get in touch with your ministry?
Well, we've actually got three websites, but the two main ones, one is lighthousetrails.com. If they're interested in reading Ray Young's books, they're very excellent. Also, Brian Flynn, he's a former New Age medium. He wrote Running Against the Wind. They can get those from lighthousetrails.com. But if they're looking for some information, we have a very extensive website called lighthousetrailsresearch.com. Just add the word research.com. It's got over 400 pages and over 15,000 links, all alphabetically indexed. And we've got, if they jump over to the blog, they can see many articles on The Secret. I think we have probably upwards of 12 articles on The Secret right now. So there's quite a bit there. And everything I've talked about tonight is on the website also.
Well, I would encourage people to go there. Certainly, I get your regular emails. How can people get on your email list?
It's very easy. If they go to lighthousetrailsresearch.com, they'll see a little box there, and it says sign up for free e-newsletter. And we send out a newsletter through your email about once a week, 7 to 10 days, every 7 to 10. And then important press releases we'll send out also. So it's a good way to stay in touch of what, you know, with what's going on.
And I really feel that we're moving into a very, very rapidly changing world and rapidly changing society. You need, of course, to have your finger on the pulse of what's going on. And Deborah Dombrowski, who's our guest, and the staff there at Lighthouse Trails are really, of course, putting the material out that you need for times like these. Our job is, of course, to get you educated, to give you the source of information and know where to get to go to get solid information. I read so much from so many ministries today, and it's all like Jell-O. It has no substance to it. The material I get there at Lighthouse Trails is well worthwhile reading, and I certainly recommend it to you. And Deborah, I want to thank you and your crew up there for everything you're doing to keep us abreast of what's happening.
Well, thank you, Stan, for having me on and Ray the other day, and we appreciate what you're doing. You're doing a great thing there to alert people.
Well, we're all involved in this same battle, this battle for the souls of men and the survival of Christian civilization. And, of course, here in this one specific item, we overlap tremendously because I share with you your concern that this is one of the most dangerous things that has ever happened to our nation in my lifetime and perhaps in the lifetime of this nation.
Mm-hmm.
Our guest has been Deborah Dombrowski, Lighthouse Trails. Good night. God bless you. Bye-bye. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and I hope you'll go to Deborah Dombrowski's website at lighthousetrails.com. That's lighthousetrails.com, and they've got a lot of material and other websites there. You can get information. We carry several of the books that they put out, books like A Time of Departing, Deceived on Purpose, and certainly we recommend their books. And then, of course, to really put this into perspective, I'd like to take you back to the original material that came out some years ago, and, of course, it was Constance Cumby's work. Constance was the first person really to talk about this that led me into an understanding that there was another dimension. I've been studying politics and history, but I always knew there was something else out there, and I was missing whatever it was. I mean, at first I thought the enemy was communism, and then it was the Council on Foreign Relations, and then it was the tax-exempt foundations, and then, of course, it was the Anglo-American establishment, and then it was Masonry, but I didn't understand how it all fit together until I read Constance Cummings' book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. Now, we carry the book. It's out of print, but we still have a good supply. And there's not very many good supplies left. Constance gets her copies from us. So we have a DVD or a video of Constance Cumby. We have a four-tape set of talks by Constance Cumby. We call it the Aquarian Conspiracy Part 1. But you can simply ask for the four-tape set on Constance Cumby. And then we offer her book, The Hidden Dangers of the Rainbow. You need to get this information. You need to study this information. You need to understand what's going on. We have a great four-tape set called The Supernatural. And 2 hours of that is interviews with Johanna Michelson, who was a medium. And, of course, was in touch with the other dimension. And her experience with the psychic healing. She was being trained to be a psychic healer. And we also carry her book, The Beautiful Side of Evil. Now, this is a book that came out 25 years ago, about the same time that Constance Cumby's book came out. But they go well, very well together. And you need to get the information. You need to understand what we are up against. And then, of course, we're going to be putting together a four-tape set on The Secret, and then my talks, my video, which will be available, I hope, within a week, called The Forbidden Secret, which I'd actually done before I ever saw The Secret, and I simply laid out exactly the same story. There is a secret that has been passed down through the mystery religions since the beginning of time, and it is a secret that promises you great wealth and great prosperity and great fame. But, of course, the price is your eternal soul. And, of course, I think you'll find this a fascinating talk, and it's called The Forbidden Secret. It will be available very shortly on DVD. We have the videos or DVDs. They sold their souls for rock and roll. You need to get them and watch them, the 3-hour, the 4-hour, the 10-hour version. They sold their souls for rock and roll. You need to get the DVD, the prize-winning DVD, The Secret Mysteries of America's Beginning by Chris Pinto, that takes you into these spiritual forces that were here when America was created. And now we have the new DVD that Chris has just come out with called Riddles in Stone. Riddles in Stone. The story of the formation of America's national capital. The secret architecture of our nation's capital, a truly gripping film, most of it filmed in Washington, D.C., and Chris was able to get into places which very few people have gotten into with a camera, especially in days like this. You'll certainly want to get Riddles in Stone from Radio Liberty, and we'll be having Chris as a guest here next week or so to talk more about it. And then, of course, we remember our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty. Pray for our leaders and our ministers. Pray for revival. We need a revival in America. But pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and protection.